California CFIs face onerous new regulations. SpaceX makes it look easy. And the Red Bull Series has a dramatic weekend in Detroit. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 7th, 2010. Today's first story is first because of the urgency of the action call. Today is the last day to offer comments on California Assembly Bill 48, a very blunt axe falling on flight schools statewide in the wake of the Silver State helicopter bankruptcy. How a bill passed 6 months ago didn't catch the attention of the alphabet groups until now is another story. But here are the basic details. The bill is a reauthorization of the state's regulations for private colleges and technical schools, but exemptions for flight schools made in the past, available to operations which don't arrange student loans, are targeted for repeal. That means each California flight school would have to pay the state a $5,000 fee the first year, $3,500 renewal fees in subsequent years, and 0.75% of their incomes, provide independently audited financial statements each year, and require all instructors to submit to academic reviews at the state level, on top of any FAA recurrency requirements. Some within the industry say costs for compliance would run well into five figures, and the real choker is every independent Part 61 flight instructor would be considered a flight school, effectively forcing them out of business. Over the weekend, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators put together a comment letter signed by SAFE Chairman Doug Stewart. A similar letter from NAFI is expected to be filed before the end of today. Max Trescott works as an independent CFI in California, and his blog and Facebook postings were where many first got word of this threat. Max, thanks for taking a moment here. How did this thing get so far down the tracks before anybody noticed?
Well, this flew under everyone's radar. Assembly Bill 48 was signed into law about 6 months ago, and the original bill did not even include the words flight school or aviation or flight instruction. And so none of the filters that the alphabet groups use to search pending legislation picked up on this bill until it was passed into law. There were also amendments that have been made to it, and ultimately what we've just discovered is that today is the absolute last day for any comment before the regulators push the button. In fact, they have already sent out letters to Part 141 schools notifying them that they need to be in compliance with these regulations by August. So we're past the 11th hour. We're literally at the final stroke of the clock to get any input at all into the process.
All right. Now, I noticed someone commented on your Facebook page where you mentioned this and made the comment that there were estimates out there that this would cost between $30,000 and $50,000 a year for many typical small flight school operations. I mean, this is really serious. I mean, I don't know any small flight school that clears that much every year.
No, of course not. Flight schools are a relatively low-margin business. And the problem is not just the $5,000 initial application fee that all independent CFIs and flight schools would have to pay, but all of us would have to provide independent audits every year showing what kind of money we made. Now, for an individual, that probably wouldn't cost that much money, but for a large operation, the estimates are there's going to be $20,000 to $30,000 just to create the final financial statements every year to show that you're in compliance.
Well, I've seen August 2nd mentioned as a date when compliance is going to be expected of some of these flight schools. I mean, you're an individual. I assume that a lot of what you do might be under Part 61. You'd be covered by this too. This would absolutely snub out the little guy.
Oh, absolutely. No, this applies to every flight school of any type, and as well as to every independent flight instructor. So think about the guys who may, maybe they work for the airlines, and a couple times a year they go out and give people BFRs. Well, guess what? They need to spend $5,000 just to give those couple of BFRs each year that they give.
Well, and then get audited.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So this really, this takes a meat cleaver to the industry when what's really needed is a scalpel. The whole problem stems back to a couple bankruptcies such as the Silver State helicopters that left hundreds of students stuck with $70,000 loans and no flight instruction. And so they're really trying to solve that particular problem, but in the process, it looks like they're going to wipe out an industry.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. It'll be interesting to watch, and I can only hope we have some early word sometime this week on how that's gone.
Hey, and I have friends who are in Sacramento today to testify at the public hearing, so I'm hoping that they'll be able to make an impact. I've already written my letters and faxed them off to everyone from the governor, the lieutenant governor, who is a pilot, by the way, as well as the state and assemblymen and senators. So we're pulling out all the stops here at the last minute to try and get some reasonable compromise for what really is a legitimate issue, but which is being vastly overregulated at the moment.
We'll plan to get updates from Max, and now that the Alphabet groups are onto this, I'm sure we'll have more to report. And don't dismiss this as just a California story. Fiscal self-immolation is in vogue among state governments everywhere right now, and yours could be next. Up next on ANN, a Texas senator isn't impressed with the Falcon 9. Florida welcomes the future of commercial space. And SpaceX battles assumptions by people who should know better. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Hopefully I'm not overstating this, but the aerospace industry looks a lot different from the way it did Friday morning. The SpaceX guys pulled it off on Friday, a beautiful first launch of the Falcon 9 rocket, which put the Dragon spacecraft into an orbit very close to what was planned. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk accepted the congratulations of nearly everyone. One notable exception was Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, the ranking Republican member of the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, with oversight of NASA. She was dismissive of the significance of the flight's success. Quote, "Even this modest success is more than a year behind schedule, and the project deadlines of other private space companies continue to slip as well," unquote. In a post-launch news conference, Musk passed up the obvious opportunity to contrast his company's on-time performance to NASA's. He also suggested that the senator would have considered the test entirely significant had it failed. And on a day when he knew his company had hit it out of the park, he hinted that there's a bright future ahead for states which have been heavily dependent on NASA, if their lawmakers can lift their heads long enough to see over the side of the trough.
I guess I have specific words for Senator Hutchison, which is I don't understand why she's trying to hurt a Texas company. You know, we do all of our engine testing and development in Texas. We're one of the fastest growing employers in Texas. Why is she trying to hurt a Texas company? That's wrong. And the people of Texas ought to be aware of that.
Now that SpaceX has put behind it some of the technical naysayers, it may have a chance to be noticed in the business world as well. Friday's news conference featured this exchange, which had to be embarrassing for the reporter from Investor's Business.
Elon, could you tell us how you see your business plan unfolding at this point going forward and your ability to make SpaceX into a profitable business enterprise?
I guess a lot of people don't quite appreciate that SpaceX has been profitable for the last three consecutive years. And we expect SpaceX to be profitable in 2010 as well, which would make it the fourth consecutive year. I've mentioned this in the press a few times, this odd assumption that SpaceX is not profitable, but we certainly are, and that's independently audited.
Musk went on to note that SpaceX has over $2.5 billion in forward contracts and expects more as a result of the success of the test on Friday. On a much more positive note, NASA Administrator Charles Bolden said in a statement, quote, "Congratulations to SpaceX on today's launch of its Falcon 9 launch vehicle. SpaceX's accomplishment is an important milestone in the commercial transportation effort and puts the company a step closer to providing cargo services to the International Space Station," unquote. Breton Alexander, president of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, called the day historic. Quote, "The Falcon 9 rocket rising into the sky was carrying the hopes and dreams of the hundreds of engineers who worked on this new project. For a brand new rocket to accomplish this much on its first mission is truly impressive, given the historical difficulties of first flights," unquote. Dr. Peter Diamandis, chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, commented, quote, "In President Barack Obama's new plan for NASA, a new player has taken center stage, American capitalism and entrepreneurship. And today's SpaceX launch strengthens my hope that commercial space companies will at long last remove the cost barrier that slows our exploration of the solar system," unquote. And Frank DiBello, CEO of Space Florida, obviously sees the upside in commercial space, which Senator Hutchison of Texas apparently cannot. Quote, Florida's aerospace workforce can take special pride that SpaceX's launch happened right here at Cape Canaveral. This success means more jobs for Florida and Floridians, and this success also means a major new force in the evolution of a vibrant commercial space capability for the nation, unquote. The Aero News special feature will cover SpaceX CEO Elon Musk's press conference in edited form over 3 days, starting tomorrow. I guarantee you it's worth a listen. The city of Houston, Texas is forever linked with the U.S. space program. City business leaders say it would only be right for the NASA Johnson Space Center to get one of three retiring space shuttles for display at Space Center Houston, the official visitor center for Johnson. The Manned Spaceflight Education Foundation, which operates the center, submitted a formal request a year ago, but is now working on relocation details and funding. The proposal throws Houston into a pool of 20 venues competing for just two shuttles after the fleet retires. Discovery is already promised to the National Air and Space Museum. Atlantis and Endeavor are still up for grabs. Still ahead, plenty of drama for the Red Bull pilots in Detroit. And Garmin gets approval to relocate to Europe. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Austria's Hannes Arc won his third straight race in the Red Bull Air Race World Championship in Windsor yesterday, recovering after Friday's collision with a course pylon. It was also a dramatic weekend for Australian Matt Hall, who banked his MXSR past 90 degrees while rounding a pylon, stalled it, and smacked the surface of the Detroit River. In a recovery you just have to see to appreciate, he brought the plane in with a split aileron and missing wheel pant and made a safe landing at the race airport. Find a link to Red Bull's dramatic video from the text version of this story, dated June 6th, at aero-news.net. BRS Aerospace, the ballistic recovery chute producer, now claims 250 documented lives saved. Four people in a Cirrus SR-20 were reportedly uninjured after deploying the chute over unlandable rocky terrain in northern Norway May 28th. The pilot apparently lost control due to disorientation upon entering IMC or severe icing and elected to pull the handle. BRS CEO Larry Williams observed, quote, "While the accident itself is upsetting to all involved, no doubt, our BRS workforce is always happy to hear of how their efforts directly contribute to the saving of human lives, now totaling 250, unquote. Garmin Limited has received approval from the Grand Court of the Cayman Islands to change the place of incorporation of its group holding company from the Cayman Islands to Switzerland. Garmin expects to complete the transaction prior to the opening of NASDAQ on June 28th. The holding company will continue to be subject to SEC reporting requirements, and its shares will be listed on the NASDAQ Global Select Market under Garmin's current trading symbol, which is GRMN. And finally, an unusual collection of flying machines from several neighboring states will descend this week on Brigham City, Utah for Rotors Over the Rockies, the annual regional experimental gyroplane and helicopter meet of the Utah Rotorcraft Association. We have early birds arriving starting tomorrow, but the official days are Thursday through Saturday. I'm just telling you so you won't be surprised if you hear some unusual sounds in the background of these aerocasts for the rest of this week. I'll be doing them from a picnic table at KBMC for the rest of this week, and next week I'll try to bring you some of the local flavor in the Daily Aero News special feature. Admission and camping are free, and you can get details at utahrotorcraft.org. Stop by and see us if you can. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses a rare attempt to skyjack a GA aircraft and wonders what we could do if it happened to us. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.